Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh is daf Tes. We're holding by the Halak Mishnah on daf Tes Omed Aleph. So now we're continuing on various issues of machlokas in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that seem to revolve around the question of how much we're going to be matir for the inyonim of Simchas Yontif. And this is the way the Gemara is teface, that there's an underlying issue, even though it's not mentioned in all cases, as we're going to see, but that there is an underlying issue. The underlying issue being, how much weight do we give to the impact of our halachic decisions in the cases where they are going to make it more difficult for you to have Simchas Yontif? So what would we be matir? We have a slightly different way of looking at things because we take into consideration the need for Simchas Yontif. So Beit Shammai Omri, another case that we have that is important for us for Simchas Yontif, is you need to shecht a pigeon. Remember that they used to grow pigeons in these dovecots, and those pigeons basically would come fly in by themselves, and there would be these various separate windows, like, in which different units and split up, and the pigeon holes, we call it, where we pigeonhole things today, you know, based on the old usage of pigeonholes. And that's called a chalon, a pigeonhole. And the shovach, the dovkat itself, was called the shovach. So Beit Shammai says, you're not allowed to take a ladder. Now, we're assuming that the reference over here is to the type of ladder that relates specifically to a shovach. And that was a ladder that was something like a step ladder. It was a short ladder that would enable you to stand reasonably safely and just go to whatever window you wanted, the shovach, and take out the birds that you want to use to shecht. And Beit Shammai says, but you're still not allowed to move the ladder from one shovach to another, but you could tilt it from one pigeonhole into another pigeonhole in the same shovach, so you don't have to carry it through the street. Whereas Beit Hillel or Matirin, even to carry it from one to another. Omer of Chanabaran, what are we talking about over here? The machlokas is that Beit Shammai holds we need to worry about carrying a ladder on Yontif in Rishus HaRabim. And that's the only issue. So the machlokas is Rishus HaRabim, because Beit Shammai Savre Haro'eh Omer Latiach Gago Hutzarich, Beit Shammai is concerned that somebody seeing him carrying a ladder, he would think, oh, look at this, the guy's probably carrying a ladder to do work on Yontif, that's Usser. What's he carrying a ladder through the street? Whereas Beit Hillel Savri, Shovcho Mochiach Alav. Shovcho, Rashi understands, means not that the Shovach is Mochiach Alav, but the Shovach element of the ladder proves that the ladder is not being moved for anything other than a Shovach, because if people really wanted to do work, they would bring a regular ladder, not a shovach ladder, which is stubby and short, and it's not going to be able to allow you to reach your roof. So why would people think that? It's clearly a shovach ladder. And therefore, Beit Shammai holds that we don't have to worry about it because the shovach aspect of the ladder is mochiach, that this ladder is not being used for purposes of doing a thing on the roof. But Beit Shammai would never have said that in Rishus HaYachid, it would be Usser over there. Well, who's going to see him? And therefore, even Beit Shammai holds that it's mutter. There's no serious issue that we need to worry about, except for the Maris HaAyin. So if you're in your own Rishus, so you do not have to worry about Maris HaAyin. Really? Didn't Rav say, V'omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that kol makom she'asru chachamim mipnei mar'it ha'ayin, afilu b'chadrei chadarim asur, that once there is any concern about a gezera that is based on what people might say, then that applies even if you're in the most private of places. B'chadrei chadarim, still, it's asur. Now the question is, gentlemen, why are we asking from Rav on Rav Chanan Bar Ami? Rav is an Amora, Rav Chanan Bar Ami is an Amora. And this is yet another example of the many that we've had so far of how Masechet Beitzah gives us guidance in application of halachas, development of minhagim, and the elements that Chazal take into consideration in the concerns of various gezeiros, in this concentrated interrelationship of the multiple gezeiros with multiple timing, have to be taken into consideration in each one. And this discussion that we're going to begin today is very, very much like that, in which we juggle all types of multiple levels of considerations and to see whether we can actually come out with a clear-cut approach about whether we're being makel for Sukkos Yontif or whether it's the other issues that are the fundamental issues. So another one of the important things that we decide over here is that Rashi brings that even though normally we would never ask from an Amora on another Amora, Rav is different. Remember, Rav has the right to be polyg on a Tana. But Rashi brings, because of the fact that Rav was Rav on Shokol Yisrael, other than for Shmuel, and Shmuel's direct Talmidim, everybody, he was called B'nai HaGolah. And therefore, it's unreasonable to say that Reb Chanan Bar Ami would actually argue on Rav. And so there's something is very strange. So didn't Rav say that it's always going to be Osir? So why would Beit Shammai say that if it's in a Rishus HaYachid, there's no problem? Now, there's two ways of understanding this as well. Does that mean that a gezeira is applied always across the board, whether or not there is a chance that someone will seal? Or does it mean that we take into consideration even the off chance that someone will see you? Now that makes a big nafkamina, and in fact, we paskin the latter. So that in cases where there would be a chashash of marisa ayin on something that is on your own personal body, and there's no chance that anyone will see it, so you've got on your private part something that you're doing, which it would be usur because people might be chashash, they don't realize it's l'refu or whatever it is, over there we're not gozer halacha l'maisa, because there's no chance that somebody's going to see you. And that's not called b'chadrei chadorim. But as I say, that's a machlokas. That's however how we paskin. In any event, if that is the halacha, then it does not make sense that Rav Chanan Bar Ami would say that there's a nafkamina between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about whether it's Brishus HaYachid or Brishus HaRabim, and that's good for the machlokas. Answers the Gemara, well, that is a machlokas tonight, whether or not we really have to be concerned for the fact that people, even b'chadrei chadorim, we would answer. Where do we know it's about locus tanoim? Because it says in a braisa that if, let's say, you got caught in the rain and you're soaking wet, and now you want to take off your jacket and hang it up, or take off your shirt and hang it up to dry in the sun. So you can, shotchan b'chama, you can spread your clothes out in the sun to dry, but you can't do it in a place where people will see. Don't do it in public because people may think that you washed your clothes and because they don't know you were caught in a downpour. Whereas Rabbi Elazar should say and Rabbi Shimon, they say that it's usur. So basically, what do you see from this? That there's a machlokas tanoim about the principle that Rav said that things that would be usur if they're done in public are usur even if they're done in private. And that is true according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, that it's usur. But then that would mean that, of course, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who hold that, they would hold that according to Beit Hillel. The question, the machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, is nothing to do with being dafka in Rishus HaYochid. Because according to them, there's no nafkamina, whether it's Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabbi. And we're certainly not going to say that Rav was going against, as we'll see in a moment, against the Psak of Beit Hillel. So therefore, there would be no problem, because there is a shita not like Rav. So I'm semich, says Rav Chanan, I'm semich on that. Ikeri Amri, Omer Rav Chanan Bar Ami, others say that actually what Rav Chanan Bar Ami said was that the whole machlokes is Bereshut HaYachid, because there's gufa machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai holds of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, namely that there's an Isser, even B'chadrei Chadorim, and Beit Hillel doesn't hold of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and they say that there's no Isser b'chadrei chadorim, but Parashas Rabbim, everybody's meida. What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that the way that Rav Chanan understands is that Rav is going like Beit Shammai? How is Rav going like Beit Shammai? You're telling me that Beit Shammai was the one who said that it's Isser b'chadrei chadorim, and that can't be the way that Rav understood the machlokas about the ladders, because Rav would never have paskin like Beit Shammai against Beit Hillel. So how does he understand it? So Rav Chanan's understanding of Beit Hillel over here is clearly not true according to Rav. That's the way we were asking the Kasha Rav Chanan in the Ikedi Amri approach. And in the Ikedi Amri approach, he says the same answer. And he says that the way to understand Beit Hillel is in Machlokas Tanoim. And I'm going according to the other approach, Tanoyi, the Tanya. If your clothes got caught in downpour, so the Tanakama says, Shotchan Bechama, you're allowed to put them out in the sun to dry. Avalo keneged ha'am, you can't do it in a place where people will see. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon say, even in a private place, you're not allowed to put it out. So that means that since the Tanakama over here says that there is a heter to be Shotchan privately, so apparently he doesn't hold of Rav. So maybe he understands the machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai the way that I do, says Rav Chanan bar Ami. Obviously, Rav doesn't take that approach. And it's clear that there's Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. They do agree with Rav's approach. So how do they understand Beit Hillel? They must understand Beit Hillel the way that Rav understood Beit Hillel. In which case, Beit Shammai was matir even in a place with Beit Shammai is asring even in a place where somebody can't see you, because he does hold of that is foot. Okay, so that we have Gufa Machlokas, that question, there's nothing in the statement of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel that indicate that there's an afkamina between a Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochi. The point is that there's two possible approaches depending on whether you hold that there might be such a difference. Okay, so according to Rav, Rav says, listen, how would there be such a difference? I'm certainly not going to paskin only like Beit Shammai. Now the question is, this sounds like it's a rather esoteric and far-fetched kind of issue, right? But how about if you would like to have a cup of coffee when you're fleishiks with milk? So then you've got this part of the milk, okay? So now you're in your own kitchen. You know perfectly well that this is part of the milk, but I mean, not everybody knows that it's part of the milk. So if somebody would see you with your steak drinking this coffee and milk, they might certainly get the wrong idea, right? Okay, nowadays, of course, we're part of the milk is as nafutz as regular milk. This is not much of an issue, but it used to be a major issue. This is major machlokasin about how we paskin about this question. And initially, the only heter that there was to use, in those days they used almond milk for parva milk, was to make sure that there were actually pieces of almonds that were left in the milk, or you would have the almonds around the milk to make it clear that you would squeeze this milk from almonds, so there would be no problem, because otherwise it would be usur, even though there's nobody at home, and you're drinking this milk all by yourself, it should still be usher. And in fact, that's the way almost all of the Rishonim Paskin, even though it's a really a big, big Machlokas Rishonim. But this is the way that the Rif Paskins, and this is the way that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in the end, that it's usher. So you need to have almonds in your milk. But Ad Kedei Kach was Nogei. It's very interesting that the Ramah Paskins for the Ashkenazim, that if what you're talking about is chicken, not steak, and you want to drink your coffee with your chicken, so then the Ramah was matir it even without the almonds in the milk. Because it says, since the chicken itself is only gzeira derabanan, to say that somebody's going to be chayshi, that you're coming to do an iser derabanan, we're not machmer on this additional level of afilu b'chadri chador. This is a big chiddush and the heter of the Ramah. But this is, see, here you have a Gemara, it seems like so distant, and yet it's easy to see where you could have these kind of questions. I mean, even today, probably when it comes to pizza with parva cheese or something, I would suggest that that's probably still quite a problem. Yes, Reb Barnea.
In California, we had the issue of Thomas English muffins with the tofu cheeseburgers.
Yes, that's right.
Grillers. Right. That was common. And I think it was the Shach that said, so therefore for the Purim meal with chicken with almonds, make sure to have almonds. So you see that there was some minhag of this chicken meal. So we made it for Rav Shirom, Aaron Katz and I, when we were learning by him. And we brought, that was the Shalach Manas. It was a chicken with almond dish that she made.
Very cute. Okay, beautiful. All right, so anyway, it turns out now that we have this two ways of approaching the Mishnah. Now, the way that the Mishnah actually brings the machlokas is not necessarily true according to everybody. Because Rav Shimon ben Elazar has a completely different approach to the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And the Masnis in the Loki Aitana, the Tanya Omer Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Modim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, Shemolechim et Asulam Mishovach LeShovach. It's simply not true. There is no machlokas about whether you could move a Shovach from one to another. The question was, and why is that? Because you need it for Simchas Yontem. You're hungry and you want to make a meal. So you're allowed to go from one shovach to the other. Lo nechleku ela lahachzir. Question is, can you put the lat back in the closet in your kitchen? That's the question. So Beit Shammai says, no, because that is not necessary for your Simchas Yontev. And the heter over here was to do this type of thing, which might involve certainly things that we prefer you wouldn't be doing. And we're not describing what that is. Whether is it elements of chashash, is it because it's a tircha de lo tzarech on yantiv, and so on. We're going to see that there's so many different elements that what we're engaged in is a very difficult balancing act in deciding what kind of things will be machmer on and not. But by the way, the Gra, as a general approach to the Takonis de Rabbanan, says that the type of issues that are openly discussed in these gezeras are always a very tiny proportion of the delicate interlaced considerations of how the ultimate impact of a particular gezera will be on the overall way in which people perceive the dinim of the Torah and the way that they have to be engaged in a mishmeres on the dinim of the Torah. And that makes a heck of a lot of sense. So it's because of that, that even where we have, like we had before, another one of those big Beitza issues about whether the Koldover that was Nesar B'minyan, you need another minyan to be Matir, and even though the Tam was Batal, and even though we said the Tam, it wouldn't matter, we would still need the minyan, again, as the Gra explains, well, of course, because the things that are openly expressed by the Chachamim about a Gezera are a tiny proportion of the issues that need to be taken into consideration, and they're for public consumption. And I mean, you'll notice how similar this is to the considerations today about COVID. You have exactly the same situation. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry feels that they have a right to make a determination about the complex questions of communicability, of how much impact, let's say, a mask would have on those kind of things, of the difference between different types of masks, on the impact of a vaccine, on the number of vaccine, and so on and so forth. The truth is that obviously from the scientific point of view, the number of issues that need to be taken into consideration for real experimentation and usable data on these things is massively complex, because there's so much in terms of general health questions, genetic background of the individual, differences of age, sex, society, God only knows, right? There's not even a way to begin explaining to the Amoritz what it is that has to be taken into consideration. So what you end up is, you tell them something simple, you know, masks are good because, or vaccinations are good because. So now everybody can bring data against that, right? So now they have the right to determine a dovership, a minion, Fauci was lying, this guy, so on and so forth. It becomes absolutely hilarious that people speak about things of which they know literally nothing and don't even understand the things that are being given for public consumption. But because of that, they're able to be chaylik on the takon of the chachamim, so to speak, right? It's a beautiful mushroom, the whole thing. So therefore, says the Gra, that's the point of Tzarech Minyan Achilat Tira. There's absolutely no way to share the delicacy of the issues that need to be taken into consideration with the public at large. So we give you something to chew on, you know, okay. So when people were suitably aware of their own limitations, okay, so that would be enough for people to be shermin the takana. And even then, by the way, remember that a takana that is not mekubal is not chal, right? We check every takana, as the Rambam says. We do an actual poll to see how people are keeping takanas a year later. If it hasn't caught on, then the takana is automatically batal, because a takana is actually a social function and needs to be able to be implemented. But once it's chal, so then you would need a minyan akalatira and so on. Okay, anyway, I just thought it was a good Beitza-type discussion to have about the overall sense of the interrelationships of takana. So therefore...
Rebbe.
Sorry?
Would fake crab in sushi be a problem with what we were saying with almond milk?
Is that a voice out of the distant past? Is this a grown-up buffalo?
Yeah.
I should have realized it must be some foreman to interrupt this year. Yes, Moshe, a second. What did you say?
What about fake crab and sushi? Would it be a problem with almond milk? Plus the thing we were talking about, almond milk?
The crab and sushi, did you say?
The fake crab.
Oh, I didn't know there were such things. Fake crab and sushi. It would seem so. It would certainly seem so, yeah.
Because a lot of people have it nowadays.
Right, so you should, I guess, make sure that you're eating it in a big fake crab and sushi wrapper or something, and make it clear. Okay, yeah, that would be an excellent example. So anyway, so over here we have the question, again, it's not even clear, so can you bring the ladder back? But Shammai Omrim, there's no need to bring the ladder back, and therefore you don't. Maybe that's just because of Tircha B'Yonta. You can even bring the ladder back. Amar Rav Yehuda, this whole discussion that we've had is only talking about a sulam shel shovach, which is the way we introduced it. It is a clear cut. Anybody who looks at it says, what's this little ladder? It's there for use of getting up to your dovecot. But if you're really carrying a ladder that people use for doing painting or working and so on, a tall ladder, everybody agrees that that's asur. So a sulam shel aliyah divrei hakol asur, because there people will definitely, what are you carrying around a ladder like that for on yontif? I mean, are you going to use the yontif to do some painting? Rabbi Daisa says, well, matehu mechalon lechalon. Now, it's not clear whether Rabbi Daisa was referring to the ladder that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about, and he was saying, well, you could even move a sulam shel aliyah. You could take, if you were just, it was already there and you were just moving it from one pigeonhole to another pigeonhole, that would be okay. Or is he saying, the most that you can do even with the sulam shel shovach is to move it from one pigeonhole to another. That we'll see. Acherim omrim, mishum Rabbi Dosa, that af madinbo. So that midadinbo means you can walk it, like when you walk a little kid. Remember, that's how we use them. Malachi Asharis, walk Bnei Yisrael back to Har Sinai, they were bedadim. So they pushed us like a mother holding her little one-year-old to put one foot in front of the other foot. So the ladder also, you can like move it by putting one end and then just flip it to the other end. And that you can also do. So if you can't just tilt it like the first lashon, you can actually move it. Now, we have to understand this. We don't know which ladder we're referring to in Rabbi Zer. Are we referring to sulam that is a sulam of a shovach, or are we referring to a sulam that is the sulam of an actual aliyah? So once happened, the Bnei Rabbi Chiya, we have oftentimes in the Gemara discussions of how it is that Bnei Rabbi Chiya would go out, and they would go to check on their fields and do whatever things they had to do. It took off some time to deal with those kind of issues, and they would go out, l'kiryata, they would go out to the boondocks to take a look at their businesses, their fields they had there. And they would come back, and whenever they came back to Rabbi Chiya, so Rabbi Chiya would always ask them, so when you were out there, I'm sure people had shilas and so on, tell me what happened, what kind of questions did they ask, and what did you tell them? So here too, they came back, and he asked them, as we find so often in the Gemara, Klum ma'aseh baliyatchem, did any kind of shila come up? Amrulo, yes, actually, the question of taking a sulam on Yontev, that was presented to us, and we said, it's mutter. So, really, said Rabbi Chiya, as he always did, Well, you better go right back there and tell him you were wrong. That's what he always does. Okay. So go back and tell him it's usr. Tzu'uvi sru mashi itarta. So what was the whole thing that they were thinking of? Because they were assuming that when Rabbi Yehuda said that the sulam shel aliyah, everybody agrees that for sure Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, they wouldn't argue, right? So then when people asked us whether you're allowed to move a real tall ladder, regular ladder, to the Shovach, if Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said they don't argue, then that would mean that the Tanna Kamma who argues on Rabbi Yehuda, and that's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who presented the whole thing about the difference between the Shovach, he would hold that they do argue even about the sulam of an aliyah. That's what they thought. And that the question over there is whether you could put the ladder back, but everybody would agree that you can actually use that ladder, because that was the whole way that we now introduce this new way of looking at the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he was saying, no, they're arguing about whether you're allowed to put it back, but they allow you to use even a tall ladder. And Rabchia was saying, no, that's not true. Velohi, you've got it all wrong. There's no machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yehuda was coming to explain the Tanna Kamma. He was not arguing. Because, look, I'll show you, it's got to be that way. Mimai. Why would it say that how did the Tanna Kamma put it? Molichine tasulam mishovach lishovach. Why does he say mishovach lishovach? What's the point of mentioning the shovach at all? If he's talking about a real ladder, a sulam shel aliyah, so he shouldn't have mentioned the shovach. Because it must be, yitzak adaitach b'sulam shel aliyah plige. What, if we're really arguing about the sulam of an aliyah, a tall sulam, so then it should just say, why should it say take the sulam from a shovach to a shovach? Why doesn't it just say you're allowed to take a sulam to a shovach? But if I'm taking the sulam from a shovach, so the point is that this is the sulam that is generally out there at the shovach, meaning it's a sulam shel shovach. Ela lav hachi ka'amar. So it's clear that the Tanna Kamma, when he stressed that you're allowed, according to everybody, you're allowed to take a sulam from a shovach to a shovach. He wasn't talking about a big ladder. He was talking about a shovach ladder. Shel shovach in and shel aliyah lo, even according to the Tanna Kamma. Fine. So now, what did they think? I mean, it is pretty evident that we're talking about a shovach ladder. So how did B'nai Rabbi Chiya try, I mean, what led them to think that the Tanna Kamma was talking about to a shovach shel aliyah? Why did they understand the words mishovach l'shovach? V'idach? They said, look, it doesn't say sulam shel shovach, which if you really meant to limit it to a sulam shel shovach, so say so. Don't say mishovach shel shovach. Just say that molichin sulam shel shovach mishovach. So therefore, the point over here is that it's only telling me, and you can take that ladder from one shovach to the other shovach. That's what it's coming to tell me. That I'm not limited in going to one particular place. I can go and take it from here, and I can move it to another shovach, and move it to another shovach. In other words, I can keep looking around to go from one place to another. But, I mean, it's not talking about a shovach ladder. What is that? So it's talking about a tall ladder. And you're allowed, basically, according to this, you would be allowed, according to the Tanna Kamma, the way we understood it, the children say to Rabchia, that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel both agree that you're allowed to bring a tall ladder to the shovach, and the only issue is whether you're allowed to bring it back. So that's why we said it was okay. There's another way of reporting that conversation between Reb Chiya b'nei Reb Chiya. Ikri Amri. Others say that when he asked them, so did anything come up and you had to give a psak halacha? So they said, according to this other version, what they said was, Hitui sulam shel aliyah bal yadenu. Somebody asked us whether he had a tall ladder already up against his shovach. And he asked us a very interesting question. Would we be allowed to move that ladder from one window to another? That was the question. So can I go from pigeonhole one to pigeonhole two by tilting the ladder in another direction? Or was it usher even to move the ladder? That's what they asked us. And we said to them that it's mutter. And in this version, Reb Chiya, of course, also said, well, you go right back there and you tell them you made a big mistake and it's usher, like he always tells us. And now in this version, we have to explain, okay, what was this all about? So what this was about was that Inu Savar, B'nai Reb Chiya, they thought that what it was that the Tanakhama, meaning Reb Yehuda, we mean over here, the one who came right before Reb Yudaisa, but that's Reb Yehuda, they thought that what it was that Reb Yehuda was asering, so he asered using a tall ladder. And Reb Yudaisa says, yeah, but you're allowed to be mata, the tall ladder. So this, basically, this whole discussion is coming to clarify for us which ladder were we talking about when we were saying that Reb Yudaisa is matir hataya. Was he being makil to say that even though you said we're only talking about a sulam shel shovach and not a sulam shel aliyah, comes along Reb Yudaisa says, yeah, but you could still tilt it. You just can't move it. You can tilt it from one pigeonhole to another pigeonhole. So that is what they thought, that he was saying, yeah, you're right, you can't actually move the ladder, but you could tilt the ladder if it was there. But that was wrong, said Rabbi Chiya to them. You made a mistake. Because actually what the Tanakhama was being matir, he was being machmir on. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says, you cannot move a tall ladder at all, right? But you can move a ladder of a shovach to a shovach. And Rabbi Dosa says, no, you can't. You can be mata the shovach ladder to a different pigeonhole, but you can't carry it from one shovach to another shovach. So Adarabba, Rabbi Dosa was being very machmir, and because of that, he told them, you better go back and paskin to them that it was actually usher, because the question they asked you was about a tall ladder. Now, I'm talking about Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai said, you are allowed to be matehu mechalon lechalon, and you can tilt it, but you can't carry it from one to the other, even though, I mean, this is like classic need on Yontif to shech the bird, right? By the way, I should just mention to you that Tosus points out that there is an iser of tzeda on Yontif. And so, like, what is the heter to go ahead and be tzad if you've got, because the Gemara paskins elsewhere that these birds that come to roost in the dovka that you set up are not considered to be nitzot. They're wild birds. So why is it that you have a right to take them on Yontev and not to be over on Tzedah? So Tosfos says it's talking about over here birds that can as yet cannot fly. And because of that, they're considered to be nitzot v'emet. Fine. But Enoch Inami, otherwise there would be a problem. Now, that means that according to what we're saying over here, Beit Shammai is not allowing you to do something that you need for Yontif. So now, taking into consideration the impact of all of the various things that we've been talking about until now on your enjoyment of Yontif, you need to ask yourself, okay, so the bottom line is that according to Beit Shammai, we are going to be limiting your rights to Simchas Yontif because of our gezeiros, which means that according to Beit Shammai, we're going to look more chomor gabi Simchas Yontif. Beit Shammai, the overall impact of Beit Shammai's gezeiros is that he is going to be machmer even though it may ruin your Simchas Yontif. And Beit Hillel is lekula. The problem is that the first Mishnah said not like that, because the first Mishnah said that Ashochet Chayav Ha'Ov B'Yontav, in order for you to enjoy your Yontav, Beit Shammai Omrim Yachbar Badeker V'Yachaseh, cover up the dam. And Beit Hillel says, no, you can't shecht unless you already had it. So what does that show you? That where there's a question between various factors and the idea of the Simchas Yontav, so Beit Shammai says it's more kedai for us to be mekil and allow you your Simchas Yontav, then to be machmer on our gezera, which will deprive you of simchas yontif. So, I mean, that seems to tend in the opposite direction. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you're right. What we're forced to say is that muchlefes hashita. Rashi learns muchlefes hashita here means that actually we have a mistaken inversion of the shitas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, because of that, at least this is the way that many of the Rishonim understand Rashi, that the question over here is that we actually should have said it was Beis Hillel who said that you're not allowed to take the Sulam, and Beit Shammai who said that you are allowed to take the Sulam. But there are other shitas. This is the way Rashi has understood. The other shitas say that on the contrary, the case of the Decker should be actually flipped, so that we should end up saying that it was Beis Hillel who was mati the Decker. But anyway, the Rabbi Yochanan says we've got to actually change the way we have the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, now wait. How can you necessarily point here to an overall approach about Simchas Yontif, because that's the bottom line of Simchas Yontif? I mean, there's an awful lot of other delicate issues that may point to other considerations. That is not nogea ultimately how much we take into consideration Simchas Yontif. I mean, look, Mimai, could I not say that Dilma Atkan lo kam Beit Shammai hatam? You know why they said that you're allowed to utilize the dirt that you had? Maybe that was only because Ika Deker Na'utz. So maybe Beit Shammai was saying that because of the fact that you had the Deker Na'utz, so they hold it's not even similar to doing the actual malacha. And because of that, it's as if you were making it and you did the digging of the hole before. But maybe in Achinami, if there wasn't a Deker Na'utz, they would not be mad to you to go ahead. And so the same thing is true over here. If there's nothing that clearly, I mean, over here we have a problem of the Rabbanan, who said people are going to say that you're going to be Metiach Gago. And that is an actual gezera. Don't do, not it's that, don't do something that people will be cheshesh. It is we aser carrying ladders on Yontif because people, that's our business why we aser it. But the bottom line is you're going to be over an actual Yisrael Rabbanan. So where do you see that Beit Shammai would be matir for the tzarech of Simchas Yontif doing something that is an actual iser? There's a big difference between something that is a chashash and something that is an iser. So if you have the Decker notes where it's not similar to the Malacha, there was no iser, and over here there is an iser. You can't bring me a raya that, well, you know, obviously you don't care so much about Simchas Yontif. I mean, that's like the people who say that it's, that a Rav who's machmer on being matir and aguna doesn't care about women. It's like, it has nothing to do with it. It's the question about what the issue is over here. So there's a tremendous difference between having an issue, you're going to be matir, and having a chashash. Ah, and the same thing is true about Beit Hillel. What do you mean Beit Hillel is going lakula? He's only going lakula here by the ladder because he said, you'd have to be crazy to think the guy is going to do a paint job because he's carrying this little stepladder. You can't do a paint job with a stepladder. Ah, please. So over there, the point is that there is no gezeira. What does that have to do with the question about whether if there actually was an iser? Therefore, I would say, don't worry about the iser so much. You know, it's like people say, yes, this rabbi was Mekel in the case of the Aguna. Obviously, he's very much in favor of women's rights. I mean, it's the same absurdity that they do in the universities, you know, about analyzing the social factors of this Tana or that Tana. And obviously, this Tana is more concerned with this social issue. It's like insane. What does it have to do with social issues? It's a question of analyzing properly the real issues that are involved. So that doesn't make sense. So why did Rabbi Yochanan actually insist that this is, by the way, we're going to go through a lot of these cases, and it's really remarkable to see how the Gemara clarifies for us. This is so much part of academia. You have no idea how many man hours and lives are wasted on coming up with these overall approaches that have to do with things like this. You know, are they in favor of Simchas Yontif? Are they in favor of women's rights? Are they in favor of getting along more with your neighbors, or are they in favor of having to deal with goyim? I mean, like dozens and dozens of these issues where they take bottom lines that have absolutely nothing to do with the question that they're raising. So the Gemara is going to go through a number of these things to teach us again, and this again, as we've seen, for some reason is an element of the second Beitzer per se, to teach us how to deal with this type of issue precisely. So what was it that led Rabbi Yochanan to such a drastic conclusion that Mukhlefet Ashita? So there must have been a different question. I'll tell you what it was that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. Well, later on, we have the Mishnah tomorrow that says, Lo yito ela imkeni anami ba'odyom. You're not allowed to actually take these pigeons out unless, while it was Erev Yontev, you actually had picked it up in order to make it Mukhan for your use on Yontev, says Beit Shammai, whereas Beit Hillel says, you know, pick it up. You just go up there and you say, I'm going to take that one looks yummy and fat, so I'm going to eat that one, right? That's all you need to do. So, I mean, remember, Zevazani no tell. So you see that for Simchas Yontev, Beit Shammai says, no, you got to actually go, you got to pick it up, and as I use more machmir, and Beit Hillel is lakula. But what do you do with the first Mishnah? Vashochet chayeva ov b'yomtov, and Beit Hillel says that it's osir, and Beit Shammai says that it's mutter, to be yechase, and Rabbi Yochanan said, on that mukhlefes hashita, that's why. What does that have to do with Simchas Yontev? I understand. So it's the same question. Dio Maloni, what makes you think that has anything to do with Simchas Yontev? Ad kan lo gamri Beit Shammai. Like we said before, Beit Shammai is willing to say over there because he's Lakula, because he says if there is a Deker Na'utz, so what is there to answer? There's not the beginning of an Isser Bashein Gain over here. And if there wouldn't be a Deker Na'utz, he would never have been Mater. Maybe Ad kan lo gamri Beit Hillel Acha. You know why Beit Hillel said that you only have to point to it? Is because they say that since the only issue is that it's muktza, so by saying that it's not muktza, that is the definition of non-muktza. Okay, so then why would you need more? It has nothing to do with making it easier for you to have a bird on Yontav. It has to do with the definition of muktza. So if you're Oymed Liomer Zevizah Ninotel, that would be mutter because it's no longer muktza. Where do you see that they would in any way be makel on something that is otherwise usher for the sake of having more fun on Yontav? I don't see any basis to that whatsoever, and therefore, no. Okay, so why did Rabbi Yochanan say? All right, you know what? Rabbi Yochanan must have changed the girsa because of another concern. That does make sense. I'll tell you what that is. Later on, there's yet another Mishnah, which we got to the day after tomorrow, where Beit Shammai says that Einot li netali likatsev alav basar. So over here you have an Eli, which is a pestle, but it's a big one. It's a big pestle. And it's usually used for like doing pounding on grain. And now it's wide enough to be used as a butcher board. So what I would like to do is take my meat and cut it up on this pestle. So comes along Beit Shammai and says, no, it's not mutter to use it for that. And Beit Hillel says, it's mutter. So you see, according to this, what must be the issue? How easy do we want your cooking on Yontif to be? Undoubtedly, Beit Hillel, apparently for Beit Simchas Yontif purposes, Beit Hillel is mekel. And for Simchas Yontif purposes, Beit Shammai is machmir. And then Rabbi Yochanan says, so how could that be? What are you going to do about the first Mishnah of Ashokit Chayeva Av? And therefore comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says, must be, which is of course what they always do, it must be a wrong girsa, we'll fix the girsa, we'll make everything consistent. Classic academia. Okay. Says the Gemara, what? That's crazy. Rabbi Yochanan would have done that on that basis? Mimai. Dilmalohi. What does this have to do with Simchas Yontav? Ad kan lo gamri Beit Shammai hatam, as we've said, that's because he could deker notes, or because of that, there's a deker notes, there's no basis for the issue in the first place. What does that have to do with Simchas Yontav? Aval hecha beleka deker notes, he's not going to say you could do some kind of issue because of Simchas Yontav. What are you, nuts? Where did he say that? And ad kan lo gamri Beit Hillel hacha, you could also say that over there, it's because, what's the din of a pestle? It's a kli shemalachto liyaser. Fine, okay. So, but it's still a kli, and a kli shemalachto liyaser. If you want to use it for a tzarech hefter, you're allowed to. So it's because ika teras kli alav basheinken, whether it's an etzem iser of digging, midrabanan. So avalasam, what, they're going to be makel on something that could be seen as an iser because of simchas yantem? You crazy? That can't be the raya that Rabbi Yochanan would have been machlefes hashitas. This perfectly. So now you take a look at every possible variant over here, right? Okay, so what could have been that? I'll tell you, it's another case. But Shammai says like this, we're going to shecht an animal on yantem. So now you got a big problem. Your problem is, what do you do with the hide? Because, I mean, you just leave the hide out there in the sun. So then you're going to figure, oh, yeah, yeah, this could cost me like another $200 because the whole thing is going to rot. Maybe I won't chef today. I'll eat a little bit less. We'll worry about it some other time, right? So Beit Shammai says, well, you can't put that hide down on the ground where people walk, which would save it from getting wrecked. Because anyway, the first step in tanning is you need to have it trampled or salted. Usually, okay, but I'll start by trampling it. You're not allowed to put it on the street where people are going to walk on it. And you're not even allowed to pick it up, as a matter of fact, unless you can get another gezias of busser by carefully scraping it off. Whereas Beisrael says, no, it's okay. You can do that. So apparently, Beit Hillel is afraid that you're not going to shecht if we don't allow you to do that. So we'll allow you to do that because we care more about you having a fun yantiv than we care about the gezera of Ibud Oretz. Right? So then, if that's the case, how do we explain the fact if we see that Beit Shammai goes l'chumran simchas yantiv and Beit Hillel goes l'kula? What about the opening Mishnah? V'ashochet chayava ov b'yom tov? And because of that, Omer of Yochanan, Muchlefet Hashita. Yep, we got to change the gears and we got to flip it because obviously this is inconsistent in terms of the dinim of Simchas Yantav. Remember, by the way, that the Rambam's approach to that original Mishnah indeed took deeply into consideration the fact that Muktzeh Legabe Yantav is a takana for Simchas Yantav. So that you won't end up using your yantav for the preparation of food and so on and so forth, which is the same thing, but it's flipped in the other direction. So it's usher because of the provision of Simchas Yantav, which is so fascinating how he flips these Gemaras into that. It's unbelievable. I should mention, talking about the Rambam flipping, that the Rambam paskins that afilu b'chadrei chadorim usher. And yet, he explains the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as being nogea, the difference of Rishon Sarabim and Rishon Sayochid. A classic, classic Rambam. But not because of the same reason that dependent on the machlokas about whether people will be chayshid you, but because of the question of whether it's considered to be a chashash. Anyway, so based on this, Rabbi Yochanan says, Mukhlefes Hashita. And again, the Gemara says, what? Based on this, Mukhlefes Hashita? What does it have to do with Simchas Yantav? Dilmalohi, Ad Kalo Gamri Beit Shammai Hatam, Ela Hecha De Ika Deker Na'utz, Aval Hecha De Leka Deker Na'utz. So the whole point is, nothing to do with Simchas Yantav, it's just that Beit Shammai holds his no Chashash of Isser. And the other way around, in terms of Beit Hillel, Inami Ad Kan Lo Kamri Beit Hillel Hocha, what does it have to do with his sensitivity to Simchas Yantav? The only reason that he says over here is that you're allowed to spread out the skin in a place where people are going to be walking is because a skin is Chazi L'Mizga Aluyin. It's useful even as an unworked skin. Remember that they would often take the skin, spread it out on the ground, like, you know, we do with a towel on the beach, just in order to keep the sand off you and so on. And they would lie on the skin. So because of that, if you do it, it doesn't look like anything that has to do with the act of Ibud Eiris. It's just, okay, so I spread it out because we want to lie it down. So because of that, they were matter it to put it, even though people are going to be walking over it. But that's because there's a basis for not being geyser at all. Mashainkein, in the case where there's a chashash, that what you're going to dig on Yontif over there, that's Gzeder Rabbanan. What we think we're going to be Mekel on Simchat, because of Simchat Yontif, we'll be Mekel on a Gzeder Rabbanan. Nonsense. Don't believe it. All right, so meanwhile, we are still stuck. We don't know exactly why it is that Rabbi Yochanan felt it had a right to look at some kind of underlying overall issue about Simchas Yontev instead of simply taking each case in terms of the variables that are presented in that case. But I'm sure it's going to be difficult. You're probably going to peek ahead, I'll bet. But anyway, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow we'll all learn together what we peeked at.